Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Erin Currier, who is the Project Manager for the Economic Mobility Project at the Pew Charitable Trusts. Prior to her current position, she served as the Vice President for Programs and Policy at Women's Work, at the National Network for Women's Employment. The Economic Mobility Project can be found at www.economicmobility.org. Welcome to Background Briefing, Erin Currier.
Thank you so much for having me.
And the study that you've just released from the Pew Charitable Trusts suggests that the American dream is in trouble, and the middle class is shrinking, and that a middle class upbringing does not guarantee the same status over the course of the lifetime of one's lifetime. And particularly disturbing is the idea that nearly one in three Americans who grew up middle class have slipped down the income ladder as an adult.
I think that's right. You know, the Economic Mobility Project's goal is to understand the best facts and figures related to mobility, and we really are seeking to foster an informed, nonpartisan discussion about the health and status of the American dream. And so all of our research looks at mobility across generations and within a generation, and what factors matter for people moving up and down the income ladder, and whether those factors matter differently depending on a person's race or gender. And some of the research that we have done prior to this report shows both a glass half full and a glass half empty when we think about economic mobility prospects. On the one hand, if you look just at people's income in inflation-adjusted dollars compared to their parents, the vast majority of Americans do actually have higher family incomes. And I think that makes a lot of sense when you think about the fact that we have had strong economic growth and incomes are rising, and you have an increase in two-earner families. And so people do have greater income available to them. But at the same time, where we see a glass half empty is that a lot of people tend to remain stuck in the position that they are on the income ladder as a whole. So those whose parents were at the bottom of the income distribution tend to remain at the bottom, and those who were at the top tend to remain at the top. Where we don't see that stickiness, though, is in the middle. And this report was really aiming to understand how the middle class in particular is experiencing economic mobility. So for this report, we defined it just as the 30th to the 70th percentile of the income distribution. And as you said, we found that almost a third of Americans whose parents were middle class fall out of the middle class themselves.
And in terms of your methodology, that that group is judged by a family of four with an income between $33,000 and $64,000 in 2010
exactly.
dollars.
Yep, right, right.
Isn't it important, though, to mention here that this study started back in 1979, I believe, with 12,000 respondents. And ended in 2007. So the findings do not cover the difficult times the nation's just gone through since the crash of 2008.
Right, exactly. The Economic Mobility Project really takes the long view. You know, we're looking at real parent-child pairs, and we're comparing across generations with an eye to understanding what happens to Americans' mobility in good times and in bad. And I think the really critical thing about this study is that this does not take into account the most recent economic recession. And so what we're seeing is kind of an unvarnished view of what Americans' mobility looks like, even in strong economic times.
And within the group that have well, let me ask you the broader question, though, because I think this is on a lot of people's minds, particularly parents. And the notion is that our parents always assume that they'd be handing off a better world to us and better opportunities. And have we reached that threshold where we cannot look our children in the eye and tell them that we can guarantee them a better future than we had?
It's such a great question. And I think, again, it sort of depends on how you measure it. So if you look at the absolute mobility, which is just looking at people's income over generations, as I mentioned, we see definitely a glass half full. In a lot of ways, Americans have higher living standards than their parents did. We live in larger houses now. We have more income available to families. We have much more amenities than we used to. And so in that sense, yes, you know, if you see a lot of optimism among Americans and public polling that we've done, I think because they feel that. They feel that they have more money than their parents did and that they're in a better spot. Where there's more concern, though, is this question of whether the United States really is a meritocracy and whether we are actually fostering change in where a person falls within the income distribution. So if someone's parents were in the bottom income quintile and they happen to have more money over the next generation than their parents did, they might feel like they're better off, but they don't necessarily have enough money to move them out of the bottom. And it's the position of our project that equality of opportunity is what matters, not necessarily equality of outcomes, and that some of the evidence that we have from our data would suggest that that equality of opportunity is not always there.
Well, I know it's somewhat unrelated, Aaron Currier, but last night I happened to be watching that one of those dreadful showbiz kind of shows like Extra, they did a profile on this daughter of a billionaire from England who's a billionaire from Formula One racing. Her name is Petra Eccleston, and she's famous here in Los Angeles because she bought the most expensive house on the market, the $65 million Aaron Spelling mansion, and they showed her closet with a collection of handbags, each of which cost over $30,000, which I'm just relating it to the measure of the middle class here in your study is a family of four earning $33,000 a year. Each of these handbags, and they literally went as far as the eye can see, is the equivalent of a family income that for those holding on to the bottom of the middle class.
Right. It's kind of amazing. And I think, you know, I think one of the most interesting things about our study actually is not necessarily the aggregate number of who's falling out of the middle, but that there are stark differences in who falls out of the middle depending on race and depending on sex. So we see that African Americans are more likely than whites to fall out of the middle class, and that women are more likely than men to fall out of the middle class. And I think the more that you begin peeling back these layers of the onion, the more you're able to understand what the real implications are of these data, and also what kinds of policy changes might be able to be effective to sort of helping people maintain their status on the income ladder.
So one of the more disturbing aspects of your study, Aaron Currier, is that nearly half of African Americans born to middle-income parents in the late 1960s plunged into poverty or near poverty as adults.
Yes, we released a study back in 2008 that looked at income at income mobility across generations. And in that study, we divided the income distribution into five equal pieces. And if you take that middle piece, which is a slightly different definition of the middle than we used for this most recent report, you see that almost half, 45% of African Americans, fall from the middle all the way to the bottom as adults, and only 16% of whites do. And this number was so stark to us and so stark to all of our coalition partners that we have spent some time in subsequent reports really trying to understand what could be behind that huge downward mobility gap. And that was really what inspired this report, so that we could better understand what factors like education, like marital status, like parents' occupation, what kinds of things really are driving that difference between black-white mobility. I think what we found is, in some ways, not so surprising. We know that post-secondary education is extremely important, and this report did find that those who have some post-secondary education are much, much more protected from falling out of the middle than those who have only a high school diploma. And similarly, that those who are married are more likely to maintain their middle-class status than those who are not.
Or that are divorced and separated.
Exactly. Right. And you know, that's not surprising when you consider that we have so much of an increase in two-earner families. When you can rely on a spouse or partner for your income stability, that helps a lot.
Well, Erin, I thank you so much for joining us, and I thank you for your report, which is available at www.economicmobility.org. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Erin Currier, the Project Manager for the Economic Mobility Project at the Pew Charitable Trusts. I'm Ian Masters. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.